dreams of disaster. Let him in constancy follow the master.
This evening that we're going to address, and that is the cross is never far away. The cross is never far away. In fact, it is always there, but sometimes we choose to acknowledge it, and other times we want to just put it to one side or out of sight and out of mind. And that, unfortunately, is human nature. That is what sin has done. But we're in a wonderful time and experience of being restored back, being made whole in mind, body, and spirit. And the cross is the means of which God does this. And that is why the cross is the central focal point of the gospel. And the gospel, as we know, is good news. Therefore, Christ, who bore all the punishment of the cross, has now placed the cross in a different position. He's placed it spiritually now so that it can continue to do that work which it did in his flesh, raising him into glory, enabling us to be able to be delivered and made right in God's presence. But the cross is so powerful in having dealt with death, the enemy at Calvary, continues to do its work and deliverance. And I think we must never forget that. And that is why we look at such scriptures as Galatians 2 and verse 20, which we know very well, but we'll just read it out to remind ourselves, which says, "I have been crucified with Christ. It is no longer I who live, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by faith in the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me." The difference being now, and why the cross is still valid today, is because it says we're crucified with Christ. And the key word is, it is no longer I who live, but it's Christ who lives in me. And that's what makes the cross now different for the believer. The crucified Christ, crucified and risen, who triumphed over the cross, now seated at the right hand of the Father in glory, is the one who works through our crucifixion experience. And that is the one we believe and yield to as the Holy Spirit works that in the flesh life. And we must not forget this, that that is one of the works of the Holy Spirit. That is why he's come, and certainly come, to baptize us in the Spirit, to empower us so that he can begin to do that work. You see, we are never really united to Jesus until we have not only settled the cross, but the whole way of looking at things. The whole way of looking at the cross, looking at Christ, looking at the gospel, looking at the work of salvation, looking at the way he works in us, both to will do for his good pleasure. So often we find, don't we, that our deliverances are in the mind, but much of them are in the attitude. We have still wrong attitudes. And we know so often that where there is a wrong attitude, there is a door that is still open, and the access in and through that door is a demon. And the cross, or one of the works of the cross, is in order to deal with that. You see, we lay hold of the cross, and when we first lay hold of it, we have to let go of all those areas that we still want to keep. And that is what the cross challenges. That is the work of the Holy Spirit, Christ in you, who's working in you to let go of all those areas that we still want to hold on to. Whether it be affection, whether it be insecurity, whether it be a number of things. But one of the things that he's doing with us is he's getting us to let go. And when we find that we let go, or we surrender to the will of God, that is invariably the cross's work, what it's doing. Christ had to let go of everything when he went to the cross. He even had to let go of his dear mother. He even handed her over. He had to let go of everything that would try to hinder him from wanting to go to the cross. And so he's recreating that same similar work with us. And this is why we find that we're challenged. This is why we find that sometimes we run away. Or sometimes we make excuses. I'm not ready yet for this, Lord. Give me another 12 months and I'll probably be ready for it. We look for all sorts of excuses. It's human nature. But we find when we settle the cross, which is part of the deeper life, the settling of it is that I have to let go of everything in this life. My husband, my wife, my children, my family, my aunts, my uncles, my home, my job, my security in money, hobbies. I could go on and on and on. We have to let go of everything. That is the affection. Where there is always affection, you are still in control. And we know also that to let go, which is what part of the cross's work, it has to be worked in the heart. After settling the cross, the Gethsemane experience, the cross is then worked into our heart, into our attitude, into our mind and thinking and confession. Nobody is going to boast in the cross. Nobody is going to look at this teaching unless the Holy Spirit baptizes one and empowers one to be able to take this up daily and follow, and then begin to experience the deliverance as a result of it. Nobody's going to do that otherwise. This is why most sadly reject it. That is those who want to go on deeper with God and who want to mature and grow up into sonship. But God is still dealing with those areas that we still want to keep, where we're not honest yet before him, where We still want to hold on, maybe, to those good works. Or we still want to be religious, because that's the way God recognises it. Many, many people are confused with regard to the cross because they see it as religious works. My sacrificing, my giving up for God. We know that we can't give up anything for him. We know within ourselves there's nothing that pleases him. So all that is left is simply the grace and mercy of God. That is all we can look at and experience from a gracious, loving Father. Because there's nothing else that impresses him. There's nothing else you can do or say that impresses him. He first loved us. What he does look for is our faith, to believe. And on that basis, he will reward it, and he does reward it. And we know that because we only have to read in the scriptures the saints that have been rewarded for their faith, for their believing, their endurance, their faithfulness, staying with it, and so on. That he does reward in his way and his time. So we see that Jesus has done this work for us. He has been the one that has gone, literally, God in flesh, to be crucified on our behalf. And that's the wondrous glory of the gospel. That all now can be taken from what he's done, that we too can walk in that way, that likeness. But all of this has to be done in Jesus and not in self, because this scripture that we read here clearly shows us he is the one who lives in us. Christ lives in me, and the life which I now live, I live in the flesh. Obviously, we still do because we're left behind. I live by faith in the Son of God. So the cross, the victory of the cross, is still his working today. It is still Christ in you and I working through that cross, that experience that was in him. He is now working that same experience in you and I, the church. This is why he is that intercessor, supplicating, interceding. I would say that much of his supplicating, interceding to the Father, is as a result of the cross being worked into our lives. So, of course, his work of redemption, his work on the cross, his exchange to us is righteousness, is peace, joy in the Holy Spirit. These are the rewards of his obedience. These blessings that we have as a result of the cross. You see, the cross points to everything Jesus did, and how he can preserve and maintain our walk in this life with Almighty God. When we look to the cross, we see a continued work going on. The cross is not dead, but is still alive. And it's still lifted up in the lives of people, the overcomers in the church. It's not lifted up by being put on an altar or even a cross around your neck. It is lifted up in our lives by the way we come over, the way we love one another, our commitment to Jesus and his word. That points to the cross. Sinners in the world today need something to see. Sadly, they're seeing too many preachers and teachers who parade themselves in all their pride and religion. What is needed to be seen today in the church is believers who point to the cross. As they decrease, that he increases. That is where the power lies. And yet so very few see this. That is the tragedy of this. Let's turn to Romans chapter 6, verses 4 to 11. Dealing with this subject. Paul brings out a bit more here with this. While we're just looking at this. Romans chapter 6, verses 4 to 11. Therefore, we were buried with him through baptism into death, that just as Christ was raised from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so we also should walk in the newness of life. Here it is. This is the cross doing its work, so that we're released to walk in this newness of life. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. So this settling the cross, this Gethsemane experience, which Jesus had to go through, you have to go through, it then works by the power of the Spirit. Hear what it says in verse 5. For if we have been united together in the likeness of his death, certainly we also shall be in the likeness of his resurrection. Knowing this, that our old man was crucified with him, that the body of sin might be done away with, that we should no longer be slaves of sin. So we have to identify with the cross, its resurrection, i.e. the doing away of the old man, the new life. That has to be granted and given to us. It is a working of the Holy Spirit. You either have it or you don't. You cannot pretend to have it. And it goes on, for he who has died has been freed from sin. In other words, that continual sinning. Now, if we died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him. So the Christ points us to a future as well, not only its experience in this life, but what it's done for us in order to have life eternal, to live with Jesus Christ and God the Father throughout eternity. Knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, dies no more, death no longer has dominion over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all, but the life that he lives to God. Likewise, you also reckon yourselves, or in other words, it means take it for granted. Reckon yourselves to be dead indeed to sin, but alive to God in Christ Jesus our Lord. So being dead to sin, reckon it done. Expect it. Expect the Holy Spirit to work the death of sin in your life. And you'll know if you are believing for that, because you can't settle until you finally let go of that which is causing you to sin. That again is the work of the Holy Spirit. And that's why we endure, we stay with it, we overcome. God's building his church through us for this very experience that we have just read to you there. Sadly, but reality is, Rome was not built in a day. And Christ is waiting for us, the bride that's making herself ready, even this very moment. as we listen to this teaching. You see, it's always painful as the cross is working its death, that is, to the self within us. We find, as we let go, the spirits that are attached to sin and in us start to weaken. And very often, it's not always an immediate deliverance. It can be a gradual weakening. You're losing the affection. The desire isn't there any longer. I'm not interested in that anymore. That's the working of the Holy Spirit. That is what the cross is doing. You see, only the cross can close doors in our minds, because it's in our minds where the battle is. And so if we're under battle, our minds are being under attack, focus back on the cross, on the finished work that Christ has done at Calvary. And I know as he's exposing it, it looks awful. It just looks as though you've lost everything. Can I even be a Christian? Christians don't do this sort of thing. You know, the turmoil that you can go through. But be well assured, if you've settled the cross and you've been to Gethsemane, that is just all the muck coming to the surface. And when that gold cools down, it's to be scraped away. Always hold on to that, because it does at times look very, very negative, and how the enemy can get very vocal, and sadly how he can use people to condemn you as that work is going on. But only the cross can close these doors into our minds. Psychology won't do it, and this is why the enemy has mixed psychology today in a lot of ministry, mixing it with the Word of God. But does it produce the results? No, it doesn't. Only the cross can produce these results, believe me. And so often what offends us is not so much the sin, but the pride that lies behind it. So sometimes we get offended, we get upset, and we're getting upset because the enemy has still got a grip, a hold. And so often what God is dealing with is that area of pride, which is like a leech that holds on. And we know that with leeches, the only way you can get them off is to burn them off with a cigarette. And so the way the Holy Spirit deals with that is through the cross, through the power of the Spirit. And we find ourselves in God's mercy and grace then bowing the knee, acknowledging, admitting, surrendering. Because we begin to look at it in a completely different aspect. We no longer are looking to try and excuse ourselves or blame somebody else. It's me that needs changing. And when we start to get to that stage, then you begin to see deliverance. Then the mind starts to be released from the powers of darkness that still try to grip, or those mindsets, or wrong attitudes, all those things we all know that we have battled with. You start to experience a peace and a joy and a presence of God that you've not experienced in such a way before. See, this is why God is still dealing with pride in the house of God, because pride will always justify. What pride does, and we have to remember this, it stops the blood of Jesus atoning on your behalf. And that is very dangerous. That is thin ice that you walk on. And if we continue to persist with this, then eventually a deceiving spirit can get in, and you are absolutely right and everyone else is wrong. We have seen people leave as a result of that, God removing them. I know some who no longer live anymore. They have died as a result of that sin. That is how serious it is. This is why the cross is so essential. As the title says, the cross is never far away. It is always within our sight. We might try and get as far as away we can from it. But if we love the Lord, he's not going to let it go out of sight, I can assure you. You see, the problem with pride is, if not dealt with, it no longer sees the shame, the horror of what pride does. It no longer lets you see your own heart. You can't see the Lord. All you can actually see is yourself, your own justification. That is why we always have to be on our guard with regard to it. Somebody once asked me, do you think we will come to a place where we won't be affected by pride anymore? And I thought about that, and I thought, no. It is something that daily has to be kept down, watched. Our knees are always bowed, prostrate we are, in the presence of God 24/7. That's how you walk as an overcomer. And that tells me it's because of the nature of pride. And why pride? Because it is Satan's problem. Pride caused him to fall. And if he can hold the world and professing believers in pride, he has got you with his problem. So it's interesting, when we're going through this process of surrender, this giving up, letting go, relinquishing it, in other words, make sure you give yourself time before God, and eventually he will make you fit for all that he requires of you. And so it is important, when the Holy Spirit is doing a work in us of circumcising, of cleansing, and we go through seasons in this, and particularly if he's dealing with the areas of pride, make sure you give him that time in which to do that work. Very often we make that mistake that when the Holy Spirit is honing in on areas of our life, we suddenly start to become very, very busy. The thought of just being still in his presence, for some, can be frightening. But on the contrary, particularly if he's doing a deep work, that is specifically a time when you need to give him in order for him to do that work. But very often we don't do it. We run away. Whether it be fear or unbelief, or we don't want that area exposed and dealt with. This again is where you have to be honest with him. God loves honesty from us. He loves a saint who goes before him in their closet, because he's saying, come, let's talk about this. Let's reason this together. What is your problem? And you can pour your heart out to him. And then he begins to work. But if there isn't that dialogue, that intimacy with him, you will always look for alternative things to do. And I'm convinced that's why so many professing believers in the house of God are so busy doing. And that's why their lives are so shallow. There is a place for doing, but there's also a place for being still and know that I am God. Notice he says, I am the great I am. That verb to be. There's nobody else but me. We have to work at that. It doesn't come immediately. I often find sometimes when I get into prayer, suddenly the enemy tries to work in my mind certain jobs need doing. I used to find myself halfway in prayer, getting up and getting back, and then I felt terrible. I felt awful before Almighty God, letting some trivial thing enter my mind, which was the devil working, leaving his presence just to do some menial thing. That used to break me, but I'm glad he worked that in me, because it doesn't matter. It can all be done later. It's all part of putting the kingdom of God first, his righteousness. And he says all these things will be added. All those jobs that need doing. And a lot of them do need doing if you have a house. He'll be there. And somehow it just supernaturally just all falls together. Because we walk a supernatural walk as believers. And we should expect to see that in our lives. We shouldn't be caught up in the rat race that the world is living in. We walk a completely different walk to how the world walks. They are stressed, they're aggravated, they're oppressed, worried, full of anxiety, anger, frustration. We've been delivered from all of that. You know, I experienced something today on my way back. I saw a car pull out and another lady overtaking, and obviously the car pulling out didn't see the car that was overtaking, and they hit one another, hit on the side. And so the lady pulled in front of him. I saw the whole accident and I pulled the window down. I said, "Do you want me to be a witness?" She said, "Yes, please." So I pulled in on the left, put my indicator on while she took all the details. And then she came over to me. And, you know, cars coming up could see what was going on. And some of them were bibbing their hooter, all upset and so on. I thought that just typifies, you know, what we have today. None of those motorists ever probably thought that could have been me that had that accident. But they're all in a hurry. Nobody wants to wait. How dare you make me wait? Well, praise God, she was appreciative. And she said, "I think he's going to pay up. He's going to deal with it." I thought, yes, he will deal with it, because he knows he's got a witness. He knows somebody saw it. But it struck me how intolerant people are. And you know it because you drive. We see road rage all the time. A lot of people, when they get behind a wheel, become a completely different animal. It's all the stress of life that we're living in now. And that is why we need to be separated. We need to get delivered from the spirit of this age that tries to paralyze and hold believers down in that unbelief, that fear, that anxiety, and so on. We live above that But we can only live above that if the cross is central in our lives and doing that work. That's its purpose. You know, I find sometimes that the cross is one of the hardest messages to preach. It's not always easy, because it can sound so negative. And yet, the rewards are lasting. It's so important to have a clear conscience before God and each other. And only the cross can do that. So that when we come into the house of God, when we come together as brethren, we come with a clear conscience with each other and before God. And then the Holy Spirit can move and anoint and touch. And it's absolutely imperative if we take communion that we take it with a clear conscience. Because if you read on the warnings of those that don't, you can open the door to sickness, oppression, and as Paul said, even some have died. Why? Because it makes a mockery of what Christ did for us at the cross. Perfect love demonstrated at Calvary. Therefore, we emulate the same with each other. And so the cross will work that within us so that we have a clear conscience before God and each other. And only God can turn the cross into a triumph in your life and my life. So that is another reason why we stay with it and preach it. It gets us to pour our hearts out before him, so that he can deliver us. But it always means honesty, a bowing of the knee, remembering that we know nothing unless it's revealed to us. Unless God opens our ears and eyes and hearts, we know nothing. We think we do. Pride thinks they know. Sadly, many who profess Christ interpret scripture or know scripture through pride. But they don't have the revelation behind it, the life behind it. This is why we should become like children in the sense of faith, childlike faith, so that God can open our ears and eyes and heart to the revelation of his will, his word. And this is why you find when you read the word of God or you hear the word, wow, listen to that. I've read that many times. Now I know, I understand, I see it in a deeper life. That's the Holy Spirit working that within us to see deeply. This is why constantly Jesus took his disciples to one side to interpret, to speak to them the deeper meaning. We don't know otherwise. Pride thinks it knows. Satan thought he knew. He thought he could be God. And as a result of it, his thinking, his understanding, his knowledge of the fact that he could be God actually cast him out of the presence of God and a third of the angels. That's what pride does. That's why it is so important we come before God. Lord, I know nothing unless you reveal it to me. That is how Jesus walked in his earthly life. He said, I do nothing except that which the Father reveals to me. He took no confidence in himself, in his flesh, his own mind or thinking. His confidence was in the revelation of the Father revealing himself to him. This is why flesh and blood cannot see this or understand this. And that's what makes the Christian life and walk a supernatural walk. And faith is the means of that knowledge. As we believe, sometimes you just have to willfully believe. Don't understand, but I choose to believe. And on that basis, when you do that, suddenly your mind, your heart is unveiled. And as a result, you now begin to see, whereas you didn't see before. I believe that we're going to see more tonight after this meeting than we saw before. It's not about me. It's about the Holy Spirit, the one ministering to us, revealing himself to us so that we can go deeper with him, which is what he wants. And you see, if we wish to experience the supernatural manifestations of God, then the cross is the key to this. What can be more supernatural than life triumphing over death? One of the greatest miracles that Christ wrought for us. And he works that now in you and I. It looks as though daily we can be at death's door, and yet that's the very means of death being translated into resurrection. So as you go through your trials, your tribulations, as God deals with you or he chastens you, that is a means of that death he's working. And I said to you at the beginning of this teaching, a lot of that death experience is simply letting go. Letting go of wrong attitudes. Letting go of fear or insecurity or all those things that the Holy Spirit may be enlightening in your life. As you come to that place of letting go, then resurrection takes over, as Jesus had to let go of everything when they put him to the cross, even his own clothes and his own mother. All of that would have been a hindrance to him being raised and triumphed over death. The cross is you and God meeting face to face. That is the nature of the cross. Nothing else must come in the way. It is a hindrance. Even your wife, your husband, your child, your pet dog, whatever it would be, the cross is a means of you and God meeting face to face. That is why the enemy tries to stop you from being crucified. The same as he tried to stop Jesus from going to the cross, the enemy tried to stop our Lord from going to the cross. But he had set his face as a flint towards Jerusalem, we're told. He knew the Father's will that was to be wrought through him. This story that you hear today, oh, the enemy couldn't wait to get him to the cross, and there was a campfire going on and a revival. Now we've got him. Now we've got him. He's dead and so forth. That load of that is rubbish. No. Satan, the powers of darkness, trembled as he went to that cross, the lamb slain from the foundation of the world. Satan's not that stupid. And so this cross is the key. Your life triumphs over death. And this is why we die daily. In that sense, let's look at some scriptures as we bring this now to a conclusion. 1 Corinthians 15:31. This is dealing with the resurrection. They're asking questions about the resurrection. Are all raised, or some raised up, or so forth? And here he's answering a lot of these questions. But listen to what he says here in verse 31. I affirm by the boasting in you which I have in Christ Jesus our Lord, I die daily. What has he got focused in his life? The cross. I reduce, I die daily. I allow the Holy Spirit to work whatever doesn't glorify God in my life. That's what he really means. I allow him to do it. I believe the power of the Holy Spirit working that daily in my life. That Christ may be manifested, yes, even in my flesh. What does it say in Romans 8, verse 36? Romans chapter 8 and verse 36. As it is written, for your sake we are killed all day long. We are accounted as sheep for the slaughter. That is what the cross does with us. Yes, absolutely foolish. That's why the wisdom of this world cannot understand the wisdom and mind of God. That we daily decrease, that he increases. Our whole life is about the life of Christ who lives in you. This world has got to see the life of Christ back in the body of Christ. It's not about us, it is about him. It is about his glory and him being glorified, so that he can reach out to this dying world through your hands, through your words, through your love, your kindness, where those that are sick, he can reach out by your hands as you place them on them, be raised up in the name of Jesus. It isn't about us. It is about the one who lives in us by the power of his Spirit reaching out to the needs of the people. This is why the overcomers walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. We have to have the footsteps of Jesus Christ emulated in our everyday life and walk. We have to let him take us where he wants us to go. Not about your arrangements, what you want to do, it's where he wants to go this day. That is the purpose of all of this. As we yield over, as we let go of all fear and anxiety. Well, yes, I need to do this. I've got a shop today. I've got people coming tomorrow, whatever. Doesn't matter. Let him walk his walk through that day. You'll find that whatever earthly needs are needed, you'll have ample time. He gives you all that time. But we've got to get our priorities right. We're still so caught up with this world and it's all its affairs. But if you are truly seeing the cross and taking that cross up daily and following him, the cross will not let you do that. That is why you needn't fear the dying part of the cross, that death to the self-life, that death to that selfishness that is still in us, which he's working. Never fear that. Don't fear that death. Shall I tell you why? Because death never separates us from the love of God. Whatever is going on, whatever deliverance he's working in you, whatever he requires of you, The death of the cross will never separate you from the love of God, the same as it never separated Jesus, even though these JDS teachers try to teach it. Never separates us. So look at the victory, brothers and sisters, that comes from this. Yes, it may be hurting for a while. Yes, you know, it's fouling up all my plans and what I wanted to do, and oh dear. But nothing's going to separate us from it. Because victory comes from it. Resurrection comes from it. That's why it's so, so powerful. Man is boasting in technology, his weaponry, power, wealth, money. Nothing in comparison to the cross of Christ. They're just toys in comparison to the cross of Christ, to Calvary. That is why it's the heart of the gospel. That is why it's good news. So the question we've been talking about tonight is, the cross is never far away. If you love the Lord and you're walking by faith as an overcomer, I can assure you, he's never going to let you lose sight of that cross. Heavenly Father, we thank you again tonight. Lord, we think we've heard it all. We think there can't surely be any more teaching on these subjects, and yet there always is. There's always something new to experience, to be healed and delivered from. And I thank you tonight for the healing and deliverance through this word. May all of us, Father, not only hear this, but live it, do it. That we just yield and let you do that work. Help us, Father, to let go and to trust you. Because we've heard clearly tonight, nothing separates us from the love of God. And that is a wonderful deliverance, Lord. And Father, I pray you will help my brothers and sisters. Help them, Father, in their walk, their trials, whether it be physical, mental, decisions, all these things, Father, that we face daily. May they never lose sight of the cross, but to believe that the cross is not only working its death, but its resurrection, healing, deliverance, salvation to the whole man. For this we ask, Father, in Jesus' name. Jesus' name.
Disaster, let him in constancy follow.